don't know about you, but I always feel a little beat up by this gospel reading. I mean, is it even fair to call it a gospel reading anyway, since the word gospel literally means good news, or more precisely, news of victory? Just look at the bad news Jesus delivers in these 15 verses. He says, "You see this beautiful temple? And it had just been redone, and it was gold covered and absolutely gorgeous. Well, it'll be a pile of rubble before long. You will be accosted by liars, all peddling falsehoods and claiming to be me. There will be wars and insurrections. Nations and empires will fight each other. There will be earthquakes and plagues and famines. Even in the skies, you will see threats and frightening things. You will be arrested, persecuted, imprisoned, and put on trial. Your own family will betray you. Some of you will be killed. And everyone will hate you because of me," says Jesus. Jesus delivers lots of bad news today. And what's even scarier is that it comes very close to describing the world today. This year alone, our world has experienced earthquakes, famine, plagues, massive lethal storms, and deadly destructive forest fires. War has left cities in rubble, and thousands of innocent lives lost, and millions forced into refugee status. Hunger is on the rise. In fact, the World Health Organization reports that as many as 828 million people were affected by hunger in 2021, or 9.8% of the world's population. COVID and Russia's invasion of Ukraine have pushed hunger and starvation numbers to record levels, such that the UN World Food Program's latest analysis shows that a record 345 million acutely hungry people are marching to the brink of starvation. Before the pandemic, that number was 135 million, meaning that recent events have driven a rise of over 200 million souls to the verge of dying from hunger. As for plague, we can just say pandemic and point to the lives lost just to COVID in the last couple years. Add to this the persecution Jesus promises his followers and the division and betrayal among family members, and there is literally nowhere to hide from the violence and destructions. But when we focus entirely on the bad news, the calamity, the threats, the conflict, isolation, and destruction, the outcome is despair. And that entirely misses the point of what Jesus is after here. We have missed the essential Christ counterpoint with which Jesus answers every threat. His is not a message of futility or despair, but a mission plan in which Jesus prepares and encourages his followers to bear witness in the face of struggle, with the final outcome not destruction, but salvation. That Christ counterpoint begins back in verse 9, when Jesus says, "These things must happen first." And that word "must" is very significant. If we go back to chapter 9 of Luke, Jesus is alone with his disciples and asks them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers, "The Messiah of God." And Jesus sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, "The Messiah must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised." Then he said to them all, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me." Jesus had carved the cross into the DNA of his work and the work of his disciples. The Messiah, the Christ, must undergo great suffering, be killed and raised on the third day. That's why his last words from the cross were, "It is finished." That is, it's done. The suffering and death encountered in the cross is bound into the mission of Christ. And as much as some parts of the church peddle the claim that being Christian means easy living, success, wealth, and more power over others, the weakness and humility God accepted on that cross is the rock wall into which that Christianity is success train crashes every time. Just as betrayal, suffering, humiliation, and death did not discredit nor hinder the power of God as revealed in the resurrection of Jesus, neither can all the chaos and catastrophe humanity pours out upon itself hinder the mission of the Christ community to grow the kingdom of peace, love, and justice. In the final verse of our reading, we come to understand that all this chaos and conflict drive to one profoundly unexpected conclusion when Jesus says, "Yet not a hair on your head will be harmed. By patient endurance, you will save your lives." By patient endurance, Jesus is talking about sturdy, persistent, and faithful dedication. And endurance is almost always mentioned in the context of suffering and struggle. Take, for example, what Paul says in the 5th chapter of Romans. He says, "We also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us." And so we learn that endurance and faithful living and witness is part of the essence of a life lived with and for Jesus. And it is also God's gift to us. Jesus taught this idea first in the parable of the sower of seeds, who cast seeds, that is God's word, everywhere. Some in places where it could not grow, like among thorns where it was choked out, or rocks where it could not take root, or on the pavement where it never had a chance to grow. But some fell into good soil. As Jesus said, "As for the seeds in the good soil, these are the ones who, when they heard the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patient endurance." The calamity and chaos Jesus points to today, it's nothing new or surprising. Just the way the world is and has always been, full of conflict, fear, power-mongering, oppression, disloyalty, and betrayal. But a miraculous new option has come about through the incarnation, witness, and mission of Jesus, and the new political, social, economic reality he ushers in, which he summarized simply as the kingdom of God. Against the betrayal, oppression, violence, cynicism, and lies, the bold and durable followers of Jesus pursue a reality of peace, hospitality, faithfulness, justice, mercy, and love. And in so doing, we give life to those words we pray over and over, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Here at St. James, we're surrounded by evidence of God's kingdom taking root and growing as we pursue vibrant worship and a congregational agenda focused on love, sanctuary, hospitality, wellness, and justice for all. Jesus is honest. Things can get really bad out there, and death in all its forms is still among us. But Jesus also puts last things last, giving us a certain hope that the last word is not conflict, but peace, not oppression, but justice, not death, but life. And as Jesus always does, He pronounces the good news, the true gospel, reminding you and me that we do not, will not, struggle alone, and that our work has godly purpose and worth, and in fact, God's own Spirit is with us in our thoughts, actions, and words. Ultimately, Jesus says, "Your witness will be my witness, and together we will change the world." Thanks be to God.